glimmer, glimmer, lead us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite worms tonight. It's Lance and Lulu. Good evening, worms.
Hi, everybody.
Good evening.
That's the sound that a worm makes. 527-486-8166. KVNF now. And you can send an email to worm, W-O-R-M, at kvnf.org. But we're coming to you live, ready to talk gardening and coming into a great season. We had some great callers last week. Good questions.
Mm-hmm.
Learned a lot of good stuff. Thistle, bugs.
You know,
yucca.
It's just been an amazing summer. It's so cool, right? Every year is different.
Every year is different.
Whoa, that's sure the case this year,
yep.
Huh? Feels
every year
really
is
different.
Yeah, it feels really different.
Yeah. My strangest thing is I'm getting strange gusts of wind coming from the east blowing to the west, and they knock things over.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's the rainstorms coming from the high country, and it's the wind coming off of that.
And that being an unusual pattern where you're
It's just that they're gusts of winds and they're strong and they knock things over.
Yeah.
The wind's always been there, you know, the storms, but that's what's happening this year. Just boom. And
Slapping you right back, huh?
It snapped a corn stalk off just like that, right at the ground. I was thinking, maybe I could stand it up. No.
No.
It was loose. So I took the stalk and it's the popcorn drying, so hopefully it will dry enough.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
For me, it's no fruit. No fruit. Yeah. How about you, Lulu? What's different?
For me, it's just, it seems like everything all at once, and no fruit, you know, but the rest of the garden is just cranking it out, and the fruit that I do have is, I thought it was going to be another 2 or 3 weeks before my Concord grapes were really sweet, and I've had the water off those lines for almost 3-4 weeks now. No, 4 weeks now. I've had the water off those lines, those zones that go near the grapes. And I put one in my mouth the other day and I just went, oh, yeah.
It's on.
It's game on. And there's thousands
nice.
Of them. So, yeah, it's just been different. The plum tree looked like it was going to have 50 gazillion thousand plums, and it very wisely thinned itself out, and now it's got just this amazing amount of these beautiful Italian plums. It's self-thinned. I mean,
what
they're kind of
a lovely tree,
right? Which is kind of a pain because they're all over the ground and they're a mess. But who cares? Oh my God, they're gorgeous.
And you make grape juice with your Concord grapes.
The Concord's just become juice, or maybe, you know, if I really get inspired, I might make some jelly or something. But I'd just as soon make juice and have the juice.
That's a deep, rich juice
Huh? All those kind of perennials are 2 to 3 weeks early.
I agree.
Yeah.
I concur.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 2 to 3 weeks early. So it's like, oops, it's not supposed to be ready.
Yeah.
Right.
So I guess
that.
And so it kind of, it's been the whole summer has been catching me off guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like, wait a minute, it's too dry. Now it's too wet. Now it's too hot. Now it's too cold.
Keeping it interesting.
Yeah,
yes.
Keeping it real, man. It's just been amazing.
527-486-8166, KVNF now. Lance, you were mentioning that you saw a couple different things on grapes that you...
I was traveling around and
visiting
people today, and I noticed one person, their grapes had gotten some hail damage in the, say, April or May, and maybe even later because the leaves were really torn up. And because of those open cuts and bruises and stuff like that, the grapevines are just full of mildew. The mildew spores got in there somehow or another. And I said, well, can't do much now, but in the spring you'll spray sulfur or something like that at bud break. And then you spray again 10 days to 2 weeks later. And you might spray a third time.
Oh, so you're just going to think about that over the winter.
Yeah,
and
you
got
to take care of it.
You want to be ready.
Yeah. Ready.
Because, those spores will be there. And they'll, you know, as soon as you get the right conditions again,
yeah,
voila.
Yeah, well, and they, what do I want to say? because of the mildew, the grapes can't ripen right.
Yeah.
Okay, and the other instance was I was at a friend's house, and the grapes were, they used sprinklers with the irrigation water, and the irrigation water is dirty, and it was dirt and dust on the leaves. And you need to get that off for two reasons. One was they can't photosynthesize properly, and the grapes are not going to ripe. And the other one is, in this country, people, how do we get mildew? That should be in a moist, humid climate. But the mildew here is likes dust and dirt, and they like it dry. And when you had dusty leaves, the mildew spores have a way to attach to the leaves.
Mm.
So you wash them off. Yeah, you got to, you wash them off, and it doesn't matter in the early morning. You don't want to do it midday, or in the evening, and it's not going to hurt. You're not going to spread disease. You're going to wash that dust off is what you want to do.
You see that dust on plants all the time from irrigation watering. Just coats
man.
It.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. You should have seen. I harvested all my currants, and they were – between
dirty.
Yeah, between the construction and the street, because they're on the street, and you know, just in and the irrigation water, they were covered, man. They had to soak and everything. Mm-hmm. They needed a good spray down and
So think about that.
Yeah, let's see, roses, apple trees, grapevines, and you'll see lilacs, especially in the fall with mildew on them.
Mm.
You know, those are the things you need to watch. So just
spray a hose on them, huh?
Yeah, and use domestic water.
Right.
It's not going to take much. It's not going to ruin your water bill.
No. You know, the zucchini, the squashes are starting to look like they're getting that fade going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they just start to fade out. You know, they're these big, giant, glorious leaves, and then they're not.
Right. In the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night, the thief in the night.
The thief in the night.
Comes and works your squash leaves over.
And your squash patch did pretty good this year.
Last
year it was amazing.
Oh,
what was the difference this
year? Last year, what was going on with it? Oh, yeah. Oh, remember? It got eaten all the way out, down.
Yeah.
Gone twice. I had to replant. And I plant late anyway, so that was a trauma. But this year, it was ridiculous. Where I have the, I planted pumpkin, spaghetti squash, and butternut all in one place.
Uh-huh.
And
voluminous.
And it's just it took over. It's remember those stories about like the chicken heart that ate Chicago or something like that. It's like that. It's like the blob. It's taken over the cistern for the water. I had to put a fence up so that I could walk down the path. It's over the path, you know. And then every time I look around, I see this. I swear to God, I have one spaghetti squash that's about the size of two footballs.
Wow.
Whoa,
it's huge.
Hello.
Yeah, and it's so they're all so happy.
Nice.
They're so happy.
And Lance, you were saying if you've got small winter squash, you can
cut it off if you it's just like you
if you don't think it's going to ripen.
If it's not going to ripen.
Or time.
Prune them off.
Yeah, we're running out of time.
And it'll put all the energy to the ripening the other ones, and you can eat those little ones. Like zucchini.
Yeah, they're
perfectly edible.
And they're tender and delicious.
Yeah.
You can get real clever with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
527-486-8186 KVNF now. And we have our fellow worm friend, Anthony, on the line. Good evening, sir.
Wormy and squirmy.
Anthony, what are you doing?
Lulu.
Hi, honey.
What's going on?
Grisham, baby. You bet.
I know.
No, I have serious questions. Okay, serious questions.
You always have serious questions.
Lance said some time ago, because, look, let's face it, Russian sage. Okay, they're under my bed. Yeah, they're there. Okay, Russian sage is awesome for bees. They love Russian sage.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Mine has recovered from an attack of scorched earth, okay? Now, okay, Lance and Lulu, whoever, you know, Jill, you two. Okay. what do I do? I want this stuff to survive and thrive, man. You say cut it down. I've never done that before. Tell me.
Well, you don't cut it down now. Wait till it freezes.
Yeah, wait.
No, right. No, I get it. I get that much. Yep.
Be brave. You're gonna have to be brave, honey. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just be brave.
I cut mine to the ground every year in the fall.
In the fall, after it freezes.
What? And they grow. They're probably 3 to 4 feet tall now. And shoots. Yes. They're taking over the bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So just keep them watered and. And we did.
Cut them when? In October? Or
after they've been frozen.
After they've been frozen.
Okay.
Because once.
Question two.
There's the first problem.
Serious
solved.
Question two.
Yeah.
Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land, which is KVNF, which is like most of California and the West of America, although we rule, okay? We do.
That's serious.
Why
I like it.
I'm taking over. Okay.
Come on. Question two. Question two.
Question two. Okay. So I've got this really cool old Jonathan Apple kind of, you know, low grade, but it's a cool tree. And so it's got a reshoot coming up. Nice one. What do I do? Do I leave it? Do I snip it? What do I do?
A shoot from the base of the tree?
Root shoot.
Yeah, it's a hard one because if it's coming from below the graft, it's the rootstock.
Yeah, it is.
And if it's above the graft, I would cut it off.
Yeah, I would too.
I want a new tree. And
you might
and cheap because I'm cheap.
You know what do is you might be able to root graft it. How do you root it?
That's tricky.
Oh, that's tricky.
This is Anthony. He's not going to do that.
That's a lot.
This is Anthony.
Just
leave
it.
Yeah.
Well, that's your choice, too. I mean, that's always an option.
You know, just leave it.
Is it at the base of the...
I told you before, I'm like benign neglect. I think this is natural, man. I do.
I think you should go for it.
I just do.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not into all this grafting.
No, I was just thinking of trying to root it.
Me too.
Cannabis.
Root it right into...
It's not working very well. They all die. It never works. I mean, just let it go. Because it's an awesome freaking tree. Awesome. It really is.
I think that's good advice to yourself.
With the Norwegian flag, it's a freaking awesome tree.
Awesome. Yeah. Man, we're going to get you on the garden tour because we'd like to see that tree. It sounds fabulous.
Because I don't have a nice garden like Lance, but someday I will, okay? I'm working on it. I'm from the dark side. I'm evil. Okay?
I want to know... I want to know if those white apricot pits and the French prune plum pits.
Let me tell you the truth. Those seeds are in the icebox.
Okay.
Because I'm such a lazy slut.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Well, that's why.
Okay. I'll remind you in October to put them in pots.
There we go. We're going to have a reminder show in October.
Everybody go to Redlands Mesa. It's awesome.
Yeah, we'll see you up there this Saturday.
I'll be there.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Good job. Thanks, Anthony. All right. 527-4868. 1-866 KVNF now. Yeah.
You gotta help Anthony talk himself through what he wants to do.
That's
see?
Right. Sometimes that's all you need is just to get it off your chest and bounce it back and forth.
Right. I love it.
What
about Redlands?
Let's talk about that right now because that is going on this Saturday. It's September 9th, and it's the Garden and Farm Tours. What's up on Redlands Mesa? And you're part of this, Lance.
Yes.
Yeah, all kinds of people are. High Wire Elk and Buffalo Ranch, Hakuna Matata, Surrey Alpacas, Empowered Energy Systems, Lance's Garden, Dave and Lisa's Cob House, Peace and Plenty Farm. There's a farm-to-table lunch, a farmer's market, an artisan market, and there's happy hour at Jack Rabbit Hill Winery.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you just go up to the Redlands Mesa Grange, and you can get a ticket and go.
I think it's $5 per person, and that's where you get the map.
Yep,
it's self-guided, so people can do it at their leisure and on their schedule.
There are some, if you look at the website, I think there's some scheduled classes or stuff at the Grange.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that would be on the website. Lunch is 11:30 to 1:30.
Yeah.
Happy hour 4 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a great thing to do. Redlands Mesa is really quite cool if you've never been up there.
I'm probably going to be doing some seed cleaning, some grain cleaning, stuff like that.
Okay, so kind of interactive stuff going on up there at your garden.
Yes.
On Saturday. Yeah, good deal.
Wow.
527-4868-1866, KVNF now. I had a request from someone who wanted to put in a new yard, and they're looking around at others' yards and things that grow easy. What's that lemon verbena plant or that honey lemon balm plant? You know, it looks like mint almost.
Oh, Melissa.
Melissa. Is that something that you can dig up and, you know, separate? And
sure.
Plant?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty easy to do.
They can give us a call.
Yep.
I got plenty.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When do you do that? Like in the...
It'd be better in the spring. You can do it in the fall.
Yeah, you can do it now.
It's a really hardy plant.
Super hardy. And it spreads by seed. It's really good at making more of itself by seed as well. So
if you want...
Yeah.
You
know, a good choice to get something going.
And it also suckers
out
too, but...
It's like mint. You know, it just goes. And it's really fabulous, actually.
I had a friend that wanted to get the seed from it. And so I let it go. And he never came.
Not so bad. Oh, no.
Oh, that's a dirty trick.
That was a dirty
trick. So I weeded lemon balm because it will take over, and I didn't want that to happen. So
yeah, I've got it. It comes up in every nook and cranny around my place, and I just have to decide where I want to leave it. And
right.
I can,
otherwise, dig it out.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know, pull it, dig it, weed it, do whatever.
Yeah.
But you know what I was going to say, too, is... There are people who are successful transplanting in the fall, and then there's the people that, like me, that are successful in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to know whether you're a spring or fall person.
Yeah. So just
you got to figure that out.
Yeah.
Hey, Tara is on the road, and she's calling from the road. Good evening, Tara.
On the road again.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, I'm actually in Gunnison and came to my friend and we're looking at her onions in her garden and talking about mine. Super. And wondering what's going on with how to harvest the onions for best storage.
That's actually on the list.
That's actually on
perfect
the
question.
List. That's a perfect question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, good. Well,
it's the if the tops have fallen over, you can pull them out. And what's your little saying?
When the tops turn brown and lay on the ground.
So they've turned brown at all and are lying down on the ground. Then
Now, the other thing that I use in my garden is I touch grab the neck right above the bulb, and if it's still firm, they're not ready. If they're soft, you can pull them.
It's ready. Yeah.
Okay.
So because they might not fall over.
Okay.
You know.
But if they're soft, like they...
Yeah.
Ready to fall over.
Yeah. If it's firm, they're not ready. And you'll see, they'll pull, the ones that are firm will not pull out of the ground. The ones that are soft will. They'll actually pull out of the ground.
Well, great. Thank you so much.
Right. And then storing them is the same old thing. Be careful. Don't bruise them and, you know, get the dirt off the. But don't take any of the layers of the paper skin off.
Yeah.
Leave as much on as you can.
Yeah. You leave, let it all dry out. And my friend Jan braids them, just like garlic braids, but she does that. Mm. And she hangs them in their house and takes them off as she needs them. But you want to cut, if you're just going to store them in baskets or boxes, about an inch of stem still left on above the bulb.
And just brush the dirt off.
Don't
do much washing.
Yeah. No washing. No water washing at all. And and really gentle about getting the dirt off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you
want to,
I was eating last year's onions into August.
Of this year.
Yeah.
Nice. And that's some good storage.
I got some fresh onions. I might as well use the fresh ones now.
Right.
You can do it.
You get to that point, right?
Yeah.
I know. I'm looking in my freezer. I still have, I'm not going to make it with finishing last year's collards.
Right.
I'm just
chicken
not going to
coming
make it.
On. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, have fun in Gunnison harvesting onions, Tara. I think she's out in the onion patch.
She's
good deal.
There in the onion patch. Nice work.
All right. 527-486-8166, KVNF now. Everything's coming on. Lance, you had a trick about cabbage.
Fall cabbage, or even people that have cabbage ready now for sauerkraut or whatever they're going to do. This is generally what people do now is sauerkraut. I grow cabbage for harvest in late October I store them. I don't make kraut. And what you do if you don't want them to split, you're not quite ready to use them, is you take a shovel, even that long sharpshooter shovel we've talked about, and you cut the outside edge all the way around the leaves, and that cuts the feeder root, so it won't grow anymore, but it will still live. And when you're ready for them, you can just pull them out of the ground.
All right. That's a good tip.
Yeah. So you can, and that just slows them down so that they won't split. Because when they get that big at a certain point, then you go in water or we have a downpour, that's what's going to make
then,
them split.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then they go cuckoo and they get too big too fast and split.
Right. Yeah. Right. Also, we've talked a lot about tomatoes over the summer this year. And they're just coming on. And can we talk a minute about trimming those back?
Sure. Go ahead.
Trim them back. That's what I'm hearing Lulu say. Just trim take all the leaves off if you want to.
I don't know about all the leaves. The groin tips.
The tips that are just flowering now, forget about it. You're probably not going to get a tomato.
Uh-huh.
So whack those off and... same old thing. If you haven't trimmed all summer, you probably should. My patch back there looks like the jungle, and I've decided I'm just going to leave it because it's too beautiful. I'm just not going to mess with it.
Yeah, you can just cut back on the water if you can, and that will help. You know, thinking of tomatoes, my Jersey Devils.
Oh, yeah, the Jersey Devils.
Tomatoes that I grew from seed right in the garden. They're doing really well, and the tomatoes are full size but green. But I have tipped them, and I'll do it again.
Yeah, so you'll get them, no problem. I mean, I noticed with mine the other day, let's see, what is it? 3 days ago, I picked all my ripe sun golds, and I was out there this afternoon, and it's nuts. And they're big.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
I know.
Really fun.
I can't wait.
Hey, Marty from Montrose is on the phone with a question. Good evening, Marty.
Marty.
Hello, Marty.
Are you there?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. How are you?
Yeah, every year, this time of year, my kale gets covered with aphids.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yes. Yeah, I took a whole patch of Sutherland kale out. I plant it knowing that it's going to happen. So I just take it out. You can spray neem and hard sprays of water. And I actually, my kale that I plant for the fall, I planted in July, late July, and there's not one bit of aphids on it. So it's a timing thing. I actually have two different crops, one for spring, summer, and one for the fall.
Oh, so it's kind of a normal thing.
It's a normal thing.
It's totally normal.
For the brassicas families to get aphids in the fall. The cabbage I'll have to watch. And the kohlrabi I'll have to watch. But it's usually on kale.
Yeah.
Kale and Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts are another, it's a given, you know.
So
I have a couple of broccoli heads, and the broccoli is still good, but boy.
Yeah. Anyways. So it's just something before to know, once you start seeing some of those leaves a little curling, start spraying with neem and hope you got a good population of wasps, because wasps love them.
Yeah, the wasps will eat them up.
Yeah.
I wish they were eating my bean beetles.
Can you just spray with what? What was the name of it?
Neem oil.
N-E-E-M.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or you can get a safer insecticidal soap. If you, that's actually in the stores. And Lava dish soap, I think. Any type of dish soap, liquid soap will work too.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to dilute it. And, you know, sometimes you can even just work them over if you have good pressure on your hose. I mean, how many do you have? What are we talking about here? Like,
I have a ton of kale. I mean, I have...
Oh, you might want to turn your radio down, Marty. We can't hear you real well.
Yeah. How many...
Yeah, a ton of kale and a ton of aphids. Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, are we talking like a 20-foot row or a 10-foot row or... 200 plants or 20 plants?
Probably like, well, I have an old chicken coop area. The whole thing is kale, and then I have a huge mound with squashing kale. So, I mean, I really have a lot of kale.
Okay, yeah, you're going to have to resort to high-pressure hose and neem oil. You're going to have to go the whole gamut and just see what works.
Okay. Go after it.
Yeah, just get after it.
And I like that late planting idea because that obviously is working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crop number two doesn't have the bugs.
Doesn't have the bugs.
Well, see, my kale just comes back every year. I don't even plant it anymore.
Oh, yeah. Okay, nice.
So wow. You're building up a population.
Yeah, so now you've got, now there's your problem right there, yeah.
Move it.
You know, it's probably weakened over time. It's probably gotten a little weaker. And you're going to want to, just take all that out, feed it to the chickens, and start over in a new part of your garden.
And aphids are a sure sign of too much nitrogen. And you said it's in the chicken coop.
In the chicken coop. That's a dead giver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Marty.
Okay.
All right. Carry on.
Wow. That was some good information there, Worms.
Yeah. Well, you know, that
you
got to
kind of put the little pieces of the puzzle
together.
Yeah,
you
got to
figure it
through,
out.
Huh?
You know, you got to figure out what you're dealing with here. So
yeah,
we did.
Thank you. 527-486-8186-6 KVNF now. We have time for another call. I want to talk about elderberries, but I want you to run through your list of what you're harvesting right now.
Oh, my list?
My goodness.
Okay. Of course, I have carrots, potatoes, tomatoes, peppers, onions, the greens, lettuce, kale, chard, spinach next week. Then you have parsley and green onions and basil, celery, dill, cilantro, grapes, plums, raspberries, melons in the next couple days, cucumbers, summer squash, peas.
Keep going.
And I mean, I can go on to green beans and all the dry beans.
And
the pinto beans, like I said, will be the best harvest ever
for
late planted pintos. Mm-hmm. You know, the Montezuma reds will be a really good harvest. The Swedish browns will be mediocre. And the popcorn is outrageous.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Now, that doesn't entice you up to what's up on Redlands Mesa.
I don't know. Yeah.
That sounds great.
Amaranth looks real good. Pearl millet looks good. And the winter squash looks good.
All right. That's fabulous. Thanks for sharing that. Lulu, you had some information. The elderberry bushes in my yard are crazy.
Right?
And you wanted to share a little information
on that. Yeah, because remember, I was going to look that up, so I did. The red elderberry, if you have an elderberry bush that makes red berries, don't eat it. That's the only one, Sambucus racemosa, that's you don't want to eat. The American elderberries, go for it. And the European elderberry, which is that beautiful Sambucus negra that has the blackish leaves with the pink flowers. Mm-hmm. You want to be careful of those tiny bit. So the best ones are those beautiful black elderberries that are the native to North America.
Uh-huh.
They're the ones, man. They're the ones you want to eat. But you want to be careful because the seeds do have arsenic in them.
The seeds and the stems, you said.
Yes. And the thing you really, you know, so if you're eating just the berries, if you get them hot, if you, you know, make a juice or a tea or anything like that, the arsenic's out of there, you're safe. And even if you don't, I mean, I've been eating elderberries all my life and I'm not turning green anywhere, so it's okay. as soon as you cook them, you're in good shape. And leaves and stems, never. And the flowers, you can eat the flowers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they actually make beautiful little drinks out of the flowers in Europe. They're very into that. So they make this like almost champagne-y kind of drink.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my story. That's the elderberries. So don't eat the seeds. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't eat the stems. Don't eat the leaves. If you're going to eat the berries, you know, make a syrup or mm-hmm. or a jam, mm-hmm. or, you know, wine. And when you make wine, I guess it goes away. And
well, you're fermenting. Because
you're fermenting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're probably straining it, too. Yeah. So mm-hmm. anytime you strain them. And I got the little seeds out of the elderberry, and Lance and I just looked at this and went, no kidding. They're flat, and they're a big seed for that little tiny yeah. berry. And there's four of them in each berry.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're flat.
Four seeds in each berry?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Four.
She counts mosquitoes. She counts the seeds.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I can't. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
but they're a good size. What would you say that size?
That's an eighth. Eighth of an inch.
Yeah.
That's a good size for a little berry.
Right.
Yeah,
and
four of them?
It's about half the size of a flax seed. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, and there's four of them in each berry. And if you want to chew your elderberries, you'll figure it out because they're in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, like, you know, eat them, don't eat them. You'll get arsenic poisoning.
Do something with them,
do
though,
something
because
else.
That's
spit them
another
out,
nice,
whatever.
Rich, dark
Oh, there
berry.
You go. Mm-hmm. Yep, mm-hmm. There's your antioxidant, fabulous dark berry.
Absolutely. Yep. All right, we have come to another end of the show. That was fun. Great callers tonight.
Yeah.
And Jeff wanted to let us know that what's up on Redlands Mesa. If you want to go to the lunch and or happy hour, tickets are limited. Reservations are required for happy hour. So
the happy hour, yeah.
Yeah. I'd get on that right away because as soon as people hear that, they're going to be getting their ticket.
So www.redlandsmesagrange.com. .weebly.com is that
yeah.
Did I get it right?
Uh-huh. W-E-E-B-L-Y.
So
yeah.
there's a dot after Mesa Grange, Redlands Mesa
Grange.
.weebly.com.
All right, well, we'll see you up on Redlands this Saturday, and we'll see Lance and Lulu next week. It's Lady Lou coming up with One Woman's Perspective. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
All right, have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Which you can make go slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.